praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what you're doing, God. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. He is great. He is great. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're not a man, no. like you. No one like you, Jesus. No one like you. No one, no one like you, is it? No one like you. Oh, no one, no one like you, Father. No one like you, my son. You're the God of everything. No one like you. You're the God, you're the God. You're the God of everything. You're the God of everything, no one like you. Oh, worship the Lord, that God, His Son, not spared.
Magnify your holy name. How great thou art. You've demonstrated your love towards us again and again and again. While we're yet sinners, you loved us and gave yourself in exchange for us. The God who created the universe, galaxies, the splendor of space, and yet, oh God, you think of us. A great God, still connecting with those dust. But you invested in that which is nothing, the awesomeness of who you are. And we, oh God, that are nothing, can now see ourselves as somebody's. A kingdom of kings and priests. What love is this that changes sinners and makes them saints? What God is this? Thinks of us that we are more valuable than all the earth. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But God is this, that places the value and the worth of God on man causes angels to ponder and wonder. What is this about man that you're so mindful of him? Your greatness is beyond description. For your greatness is revealed in your everlasting love, a love that elevates, a love that establishes, a love that grooms, a love that promotes. For you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We glorify you, Father. How great thou art! How great thou art! Great thou art, how great thou art. Yes, you are. No matter what we say, we cannot truly describe your greatness. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You may be seated. Today is the 8th day of November. The caption today is the Great Transition. Thank you, worship team. The scripture reading is Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. The woman with the issue of blood heard a message. But so did a lot of other people who were present that day. They heard, but went away in the same spiritual and physical condition as they had come. What was the difference? This woman grasped what she heard. She fastened to it as her source of strength. It was more than a philosophy to her. It became life itself. Apart from which she would die. She heard the message and believed it. But this still was not enough. The woman thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. And sure enough, as soon as she had touched him, the bleeding stopped and she knew she was healed. We could call this the Great Transition because she left the area of concept or theory and made her move. She acted on what she believed. The woman not only said, if I can touch his garment, she made the supreme effort to reach her goal and receive what she sought. Faith is a fact, but faith is also an act. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. The word within you must produce life. It must produce action. One of the most central themes of the entire Bible, beginning with the first chapter of Genesis through the last chapter of Revelation, is the fact that when God speaks, it must be a fulfillment. In the beginning of time, when God spoke, the worlds came into being. They had no choice because the power of the word, they could not hold back. The centurion who came to Jesus to seek healing for his servant had this revelation, for he said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." In that soldier's mind, the possibility of failure did not exist. He knew that if he could just get the Son of God to just speak, it was already done. God has already spoken the word of deliverance. He has spoken the word of healing. It is not dependent upon you. It is dependent upon Jesus Christ and the work he accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Amen? Make this declaration with me. God has already spoken the word of deliverance in my behalf. He has spoken the word of healing. It is not dependent upon me. It is dependent upon Jesus Christ and the work he accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. How great thou art. Well, this time Mama is going to come and lead us further in our time of intercession, and I'm going to come back and share some thoughts with us this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Amen.
Good day, everyone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for another time with you. We bless your holy name. You have already guaranteed you never leave us nor forsake us, so you have always been with us. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being with you. Father, this day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it, this day of victory, the day of healing, the day of restoration, the day of joy, the day of peace, the day of goodness and mercy, the day of everything that is good that you have made for us, a God day. We are thankful, we are grateful for allowing us to step into this day. So we bless your holy name. Many could not step in today, but we are among the living. So we bless your holy name. We thank you. We are grateful. Thank you for giving us rest last night. And we're here again to see the light of your glory. So we bless your holy name. We ask now for the Spirit of the living God to touch every life from 120 plus to zero. Those in the seed form, those in the womb, those running around, every age of life, that you will touch them. Those shut in, those that are sick, those that need speedy recovery, speedy wholeness, Lord, touch every one of them. Those that are mentally sick, touch them. Those that are spiritually sick, touch them. Those that are physically sick, touch them. Those that are emotionally sick, touch their lives. Those that are financially sick, touch their lives. Father, touch every area of all your children that they will be able to enjoy the table, the feast that you have prepared for them. Father, we bless your holy name. Every need met in the name of Jesus, according to your riches in glory. So Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our hearts, our church, our city, our nation, and our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we have a very short scripture to read this morning. Psalm 12. Psalm 12. I think there are 8 verses. So let's read. I think you sat already, so stand. It's only 8 verses. Praise the Lord. All right, we should all be there. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man sees it, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. That's what we are having in our world right now, so we need to cry for help. Even your dog and your cat knows about this. So we need to say, God, help us. Can you say it like you mean it? We're praying. So declare, God, help us. Verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Say, Lord, help us. Even Christians, they don't have problem lying anymore. You used to know that lying is a sin. The Bible says all liars, not some liars, shall find themselves in the lake of fire. So the final residence of a liar is going to be with the devil. They are going to be neighbors for eternity. Say, Lord, help us. You better be praying like you mean it. Verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. That's the other thing we got to pray. Pray. Always pray for yourself and others. Always start with yourself. Don't say they are proud. Say, Lord, kill every pride out of my life. Say, Lord, kill every pride out of my life. You should just be proud of the Lord. Then you are in safety. God hates the proud. We are proud of evil. When evil things are happening, we are so numb. Doesn't prick us anymore. So can you cry out this morning and say, Lord, help me. Help them. Lord, help me. Help them. That's how this prayer started, this scripture started. Help. Verse 4, who have said with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Our world has gone bonkers. We can do evil and we are proud of it. Say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Say, Lord, arise for my sake. That's what God says. Are you in need of the Lord? So you need to say, because when we hear the poor, oppression of the poor, you're only thinking there are people who are poor in spirit, not poor only in your pocket. You know, actually, if you are so rich, you have everything that money can buy. Money answereth all things. That's what the Bible says. But if you are so rich and you are so arrogant, you are very poor. If you are so rich and you are proud, you are the poorest person. Just cry out again. Say, Lord, arise for my sake and my family and my nation. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. God is going to keep us in safety. We do need him. We do need him. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Somebody say amen. So is this the word of the Lord you are hearing this morning? As you are reading, you say they are pure words. They are not nonsense words. They are going to do what they need to do as you have declared them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You better say big amen. We are in a wicked generation. But in the midst of the wickedness, we are also in safety. So God is going to keep us. Say, God, keep us. Keep our family. See, there's no more hiding place in the world. You cannot go to any nation and say, this is a safe island. People used to run to the island. You go to the island, they have the same problem. You go to the nations, they have the same problem. So you need God to keep you in the island of glory that he has created. Say amen. Say amen. Preserve us, O God, from the generation of wickedness. Verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Is that not what we are doing in our world now? We exalt the wicked. We know their plans are wicked, but we say yes to them because of money. I wonder what you're going to do when your money fails. The Bible says a piece of bread will buy a bag of gold. We're very close to that time. How are you going to eat? How are you going to sleep? So the prayer we're praying is not a joke. You need to cry on the Lord. So God becomes your 100%. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, oh God, be my 100% in every area of my life. He's our safety. In Jesus' name. That's the best prayer you have prayed for yourself. Say a big amen. So shall it be upon all. In the name of Jesus. So shall it be upon our schools, our government, our provinces, all our workers of life in our land. So shall it be upon the nation of Israel. Peace unto Jerusalem. Peace to her palaces. Peace to the people of the land. Everlasting covenant of God is remembered that you made to our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As you were with them, so shall you be with us. So shall you be with Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, France, all First Nations of the world, and Fox Lake First Nations. So shall you be upon Glory and Peace Church International, upon Apostle Mike and Pastor Maria Efezino and our families, biological, spiritual partners, extended families. So shall you be upon Maurice Cerullo World Evangelism, Legacy Center, upon Mama Cerullo and the family and the ministry, upon Calvary Temple, upon Pastor Bruce Martin and his family, and upon the churches of our land, upon our building caretaker, Brother James Persima, and all the team and all those who help in cleaning and making sure the house of God is clean and beautiful. Upon Brother Andre and Sister Loretta Loyan family. Upon Sister Christian Martin and family. Upon all the families of Gloria Peace Church. Upon Sister Aline Minot and her legal practice. Upon her family. Upon Brother Prasky Creative Works, upon Brother West and Sister Kasha Prasky and family, upon everyone who call on the name of the Lord, upon everyone in this house, whether your name is called out or not, the Lord knows your name. May God remember you and your family. Remember your children. Remember your parents. Remember the work of your hands. Remember his covenant in the name of Jesus. Lord, be with us in the service, every aspect of it. Bless the tithe and the offering. May it be acceptable before you. And Lord, bless the word we're going to hear. The giver of the word, the carrier of the word, the speaker of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who publish the word. By telling somebody about the goodness of God. In Jesus' name we declare so done. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
We bless all the children as they go to their class and their teachers. This morning, I want to continue on what we've been talking about regarding the covenant of God. God has made a covenant, made a promise to us as his people. And I want to say that because God says something in the heavens doesn't necessarily mean that it happens in the earth. Now that becomes a challenge to every one of us in our thinking. God has a perfect will in heaven. And he tells us when we pray, we should pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven." If it is automatic, he will not include it. So God has a will. And the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. God's will is perfect. God's will is done in heaven. It is finished. There are times when God speaks to us about different things and he assigns us to accomplish certain things. He sends you and I as his emissary, as his messengers, as his ambassadors to establish a particular will. And it behooves us to do accordingly. The Lord says, "The violent take it by what? Force. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force." That word suffereth is an interesting word because it also means allows. There's room for violence. and the violent take it by force. Things happen in the earth realm based on our fervency in making certain that the promise is kept. Please hear that. Paul says, based on the prophetic word that has been spoken into your life, fight. So the prophetic word is a prophetic statement. This is what should be done. But you are responsible to fight with that word, to enforce that word. If you don't fight and continue, it may be the will of God, but you will not see the manifestation of it. It is not God's fault. It is that you did not enforce what God said. Is that all right? Now that places a lot of responsibility on us. But the Word of God says this: not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got to understand that we do not prevail based on principles, but based on the mercies of God. If you look at the passage Mama read from this morning, Psalm 12, you'll find a verse there that is quite interesting. It talks about we shall prevail with our tongue. Put it up for me. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. Now, that's an interesting statement, because ultimately, it's about the lordship of the Lord. It is true we prevail with our tongues. For whatever it is that you say, you shall have. It is the truth of God's word. There's a power. Without the speaking of the word, you cannot prevail. It is the word that created the whole earth. It is the word that God spoke into us as his breath. So we are truly word-made people. We came alive by the word of God. But there is a correction. And the correction of the economy is that last statement, who is Lord over us? You've got to have him as Lord. And one thing I've learned through the years, 40-something years of ministry, is this: that God always reminds me who the boss is. But what challenges me sometimes is when he chooses to show who the boss is. But he's the boss. Amen? And we have to be reminded of who the boss is. So we know that we prevail by tongue, by our tongue, and all of that. If you say, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say, you shall have what you say. but it is qualified. Have faith in God, or have God's kind of faith. So we know the power of the tongue. We know that. But ultimately, God has to be Lord. Amen? Please hear that. Don't forget that. Because if you forget that, you're going to come to a place of total disappointment. Because ultimately, God loves you as much as he loves himself. And God loves himself. Hallelujah. If you didn't know that now. God loves himself. And because he loves himself, he will make certain that he does whatever it is that he needs to do to preserve himself. Because he knows that without him being Lord, everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. Praise the Lord. Please stick with me. You've been around long enough to know that when I'm talking, I'm not just talking just to talk. We're going somewhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going somewhere. Buckle up. Hallelujah. When you read the scriptures, you can easily get confused. So what does that mean? Because sometimes what God inspired to be put in the scriptures, you look at it and say, this doesn't make any sense. How does God allow this? And why did God do this? And why did God allow this to happen? And on and on. You can fall into all kinds of categories and begin to act like you are God. I mean, people have, you know, say, God, you're wrong. I think this is wrong. No, whatever God says is right, is right. Whatever God allows, he allows for a reason. And it behooves you and I to learn why he allowed whatever it is that he allowed. For example, how is it that God sees David mess up royally, killed Uriah, takes the wife of Uriah, marries her after the husband has been assassinated because he decided to commit adultery with her. And then from that same woman produces a young man called Solomon, and allows Solomon to be the wisest king. Now that doesn't make any sense to me. But God is God and I'm not. When you look at things like that, you have to find out, how does God think? And you start thinking, God is a redemptive God. God takes a bad situation and comes up with something good out of it. Because that's part of his character. And when you understand the character of God, a God who comes into a bad situation and flips it, then you understand, the ways of God are not the ways of man. I can go through the scriptures and bring you to a place where you start wondering, what is happening here? What is happening here? But God is more interested in getting the truth of how he operates into your spirit, so that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is the way of the Lord. I will follow it. Now in Genesis chapter 38, we come across a passage of scripture that seems to be very odd. This is one of those passages that you want to throw out of the Bible. You really want to grab it, rip that page off, and forget about it. Because if you ripped it off and you skip from chapter 37 to chapter 39, it's like nothing happened. There's nothing got lost. It's all working. It's perfect. You don't believe it? Let's look at chapter 37, the very last verse of chapter 37. I want to show you something. Chapter 37, the very last verse of chapter 37. Genesis 37. What's taking so long? It says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar. This is talking about Joseph, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Chapter 39 and verse 1. Genesis 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. It's a continuation. It's like just writing an essay. So chapter 37 ends with Potiphar. Chapter 39 starts with Potiphar. Chapter 38, no Potiphar. Chapter 38, no Joseph. Chapter 38, no Egypt. Chapter 38 has nothing to do with the story. Also, you think. But God is trying to get a point across. For chapter 38 begins this way. And it came to pass at that time. And this throws me off. At that time, what time? What season is this? Well, in the season when God was showing that there is a promise to be manifested, and the crisis that was going to happen, and the manifestation of that promise, in that season, from beginning to the end, in that season, came to pass at that time that Judah, praise, went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite. Adullam means justice of the people. He turns in there, whose name was Hira. That's an interesting name. Hira means a noble family. Verse 2 goes on and tells us, and Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite. He saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, or wealth. And he took her and went in unto her. Now, this is interesting, because the Jews, the Israelites, were not to be married to the Canaanites. This is an abomination, and this grieved Judah. Israel. This is not to happen. But it's interesting that Judah is the one that is breaking this rule here. Should know better. Praise is connecting itself to a Canaanite woman because of something called wealth. And so it is that our praise, our worship, has connected itself to a worldly Canaanite spirit because of what we can get in the natural. People betray their trust and their commitment to God because of what they can get. So he married the Canaanite woman from the family of Shur, and the Bible tells us that they had a child. She conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Ur. Ur means to be awake. We live in a woke generation. Everybody's woke. That means that you are connected some way, somehow, to this idea, philosophy of whatever kind. Call his name Ur. And the Bible goes on, and she conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Strong. And she yet again conceived and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. Shelah means to make a petition. But I like this. And he was at Chezeb. He was at Chezeb when she bore him. You know, as I look at the passage, I see our world and the time and seasons that we are living in right now. Because Chezeb is the word false. How we've heard about fake news and all that jazz, you know, in the last little while. In that atmosphere, that's where Shelah petition was made. Because when there's falsehood, you got to make a petition. You got to challenge it to come up with the right answer. Amen? But that's where he was born. Judah was at fault. Can you imagine Judah being at a place called false, fake, when Shelah was born? That's what the word of God tells us. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn. Took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Tamar, it's an interesting name. It's a beautiful name. It means to be a palm tree. That's a palm tree. And a palm tree is rather interesting because palm trees go through storms and they just bend. They're flexible and they come back. Palm tree. That tells me that this woman, no matter what is thrown at her, she's going to find her true north. She's going to locate where she's supposed to be. So we have Tamar. Now Tamar is married to Ur, and Ur dies. The Bible tells us, it says that Ur was a wicked person. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. In God's sight, he was wicked. And the Lord slew him. In his father's sight, he was not wicked. Because he was living already in the place called fake, false. And many times we make our judgments based on our standards. What is politically correct. And on and on and on and on. But God deals from his perspective. And he looks at her and says, you're a wicked guy. Dead. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. In other words, you're going to go in unto Tamar, have a child, but that first child is not going to be yours. It's going to be her son, her child, because we've got to continue his legacy. What God has killed, don't bring to life. Please hear this. Let me say that again. If God has killed it, don't go messing around, try to give it life. So, even though that's a spiritual principle and it's a truth principle, Onan goes and wants the pleasure of relating with Tamar, but while they were copulating, the Bible says he withdraws and spills his semen. And in essence, destroyed the capacity for Tamar to become pregnant through him. And the Bible says that as he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother, next verse says, God was displeased. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore, he, meaning God, slew him also. You see why I was saying this is one passage of scripture I would like, if I can tear it off of the Bible, I would have torn it out. But I'll tell you why it's there in just a moment. So the second son is dead. Now Judah, remember where he is now, is in a place called fake, false. Judah goes to Tamar and says to Tamar, continue to be a widow. My son, Shelah, is not old enough. Go and stay with your people. And when he's old enough, I will have you come back and he will marry you. But he was not intending to do that. Judah is now lying. Are you with me so far? Is this story getting better? So it is. She takes off and goes stay. She's staying with her father. And Judah's wife dies. And he's mourning. And goes through all of that. The Bible says, and Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep-shearers to Timnath. He and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. They're good, close friends. And when they got there, watch this. Next verse. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to share his sheep. Next verse. And she put her widow's garments off from her. She takes off the outfit of her widowhood. Most likely it was black and stuff like that. She throws it off and covers herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place. Bible says she sat where? In an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. In other words, she's put herself where she can be spotted. You got that so far? For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. Next verse. When Judah saw her, he taught her to be an harlot. Now, this is Judah now. He thinks that she's a harlot because she had covered her face. Next verse. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? So she's propositioning her. And she says to him, what are you going to give me? Because I'm not sitting down here for free. You gonna give me? And he says, next verse. And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, will thou give me a pledge till thou send it? I'm gonna send you a kid from my flock. And she says, okay, all right, a deal. But what is the promissory note that you're going to give to me that you're going to do this? I don't know you. So he gives her his signet ring or his seal. He gives her cords, possibly a bracelet, and he gives her his staff. The staff was not just something for support. The staff identified who he was. He trades all of that, hands three things. The woman just asked for a pledge. He could have just given one. He gave three. And the three things that identified him. The signet ring was like giving him your platinum card. That is like, you got all my money. That is, this here, anything you want and you put this in means I owe you. This is the sign of signing documents. And he hands it over. He takes the bracelet, the cord, hands it over. Takes his staff, hands it over. His identity, everything there. And child of God, you and I are going to be faced with the same kind of a situation. If we choose to marry into what the devil is working at. Because the devil wants everything that you've got. He doesn't just want a piece, he wants the whole thing. Anyway, let's go on. And he said, what shall I do? And she, you know, what are you going to give to me? He gives him all of that. And she gives herself to him and she becomes pregnant. And she conceived by him. Talking about timing. Next verse. And she arose and went away and laid buy her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. Now, watch this. This is important. Please, don't miss this, because there's something that you may have missed in all of this discussion so far, and I'm about to tell it to you in just a moment. She becomes pregnant, and Judah finds out that she's pregnant. But before that, he honors his commitment to give her the kid. So he gives the kid to his friend, the Adullamite, to go hand it over to Tamar. Yeah? But Tamar cannot find her. The Adullamite, Hira, could not find her. Why can't he find her? Because, watch this, I know I'm going to get really gross and X-rated here, but the reality of this is this, that Judah is so messed up in his mind, because you can drop that low. He's having sexual relationship not in the woman's house but out there in the public. I told you you didn't think about that before, but that's exactly what happened. Because if they were in the house, he would have just gone straight to the house. When you fail, you lose your spiritual focus. That's why people wonder, how could he have done that? What got in his head to do this? What was she thinking when she said that? Because when you begin to compromise yourself, and it started from day one, but there is a God. Hallelujah. There is a God who turns bad stories into good. So there it is. She's looking. He's looking for her. She's changed. She's changed, and she's put on her widow garment. The miniskirt is gone. Hallelujah. There is no trace. And they are looking, and the Adullamite Hira goes and starts asking the people in the community, where is the prostitute? They said, there are no prostitutes here. We don't have prostitutes here. But you know, some stories, you don't want to continue the story. But the woman is pregnant, and now Judah hears about it. And he becomes indignant, and he is holy than thou. Bible says, watch this. Verse 24, and it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, had played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be what? Burnt. The punishment for adultery is stoning. That's it. But Judah's upgraded. She wants her burnt. I want to send her to hell right now. No stoning for her. Let's burn her. And it came to pass about 3 months later that this happened. And the next verse says, watch this. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these? the signet and bracelets and staff. Well, you know it. When Judas showed back in town, he had no staff with him, no bracelet, no signet. And people are asking him, what happened? He's not going to tell them that he left it some prostitute somewhere. Oh, I don't know what happened. Somebody stole it, or I lost it somewhere. I don't know where I forgot it, blah, 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 blah. And he's got his story, and now what he has been hiding is going to hit the fan. Because now there are people all gathered. You see, this is the amazing thing. When you are messed up in secret, you yourself with your own hand will gather everybody together to see your shame. So here he is, seated in judgment. This bad woman killed my first son, killed my second son because of her. Now she's pregnant. We're going to burn her today. And she just sent the pledge. Discern. Check it out. And when the bracelet and the signet ring and the staff showed up, you know what everybody would do. Judah! We say, oh, Judah, look at you. Judah says, she's a better person than I am. She had been more righteous than I because that I gave her not to Sheila, my son. And he knew her again no more. Period. So, Pastor, okay, you've told us this story. What is the point? What's the point? I'm coming. This is a woman that had been promised something. And she is going to see the manifestation of that which she has been promised. When God gives you a promise, you need to hold him to that promise. And in this particular case, Tamar, while she played the prostitute, was trying to make certain that she has the seed that she must have because it was promised her. And God, looking from that perspective, looking down at the whole thing, is telling us, listen, if you are promised, get the manifestation of the promise. Don't just think it's just going to happen. It is not just going to happen. You are going to have to apply yourself to make sure that that which God said comes to pass. Many times, child of God, God has spoken, and we have faced a challenge, and we back off. Maybe it's not God's will. Maybe I'm not good enough. Well, I'm not good enough is not part of the equation, because if God made the promise, he knew before he made the promise that you are not good enough. And if he's made the promise, then he's responsible to fulfill that promise. And you are going to have to hold them to that promise. That's all God is trying to say in chapter 38. He's trying to say, listen, I made a promise, but it's going to take somebody who holds on to me to make sure that that promise is made manifest. How did Joseph hold on to God? To make sure that that promise was made manifest by not betraying himself. By continuing with God. By continuing in love. When God gives you a promise, there is a way for you to fight. Hallelujah. It gets better. So, she's pregnant and she has twins. Now, there's a different lesson in this, but there's something I want to share with you for today that I may not have shared before. I want you to follow. Come with me. She has twins. The first one comes out, sticks his hand out. His name is Zara. Zara sticks his hand out, and Zara just simply means rising. Sticks his hand out, and the midwife ties a scarlet thread, a red thread, on his wrist. So then it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand. And the midwife took the bound upon his hand, and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out what? First. This is the first one, scarlet thread. Watch this. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. Now, listen. There's so much here to learn. Because this is talking not just about this particular situation, but the relationship that we have also with the Lord Jesus Christ. The scarlet thread represented what Jesus was going to do for our salvation. But watch this. This is the amazing God that we serve. But the Bible says, he drew back his hand. And something happened. Behold, his brother came out. Now, if you have twins and one has already stuck his hand out, then he's blocked the entrance or exit point. You with me so far? For the brother, Pharez, to come out means he has to come, disappear, and appear. It means that he has to do that which is naturally impossible to show up on the other side. So that the second one became greater. Now this, are you with me? You listening? The Lord said, he says, I'm going back to the Father. And then he said, you, greater works shall you do because I go to be with the Father. The message right there in Genesis chapter 38 is this, that God wants to raise up a people that are going to manifest when he draws his hand back. The God that you and I serve is an awesome God. But if we are going to manifest and do greater works, we've got to believe that he's going to be with the Father, that he's drawn his hand back so that we can now show up. Complete. Do you understand? Complete. The whole body of Christ. God wants to do something extraordinary with a church that wants to move under His Lordship. He's turning a bad situation into a good, a better, a greater, best. I must begin to see myself with the eyes of God and what God has ordained even before the foundations of the earth. Because Zara, that's rising. Jesus was our Zara. He pulled His hand back so that we can come out. He said, I'm going to step back and you're going to receive an unction and an anointing upon your life that's going to cause you to do greater things, because I and the Father, we're going to come and we're going to make our abode in you. But do we, as the people of God, understand that? That Jesus can be our Zara, but at the same time, He can be our Phares. Phares means to breach, to put a stop to something, to break out of something. And the grace of the breaking out is upon our lives. Hallelujah. And it came to pass as He drew back His hand that behold, His brother came out. His brother came out because he pulled his hand back. Say with me, Lord, do it again. Say, Lord, do it again. Judah went to Timnath. He wrote on his way to Timnath. Timnath means a portion. There is a portion in the place where you position yourself to get your portion. God will honor you with a double. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whatever was denied her from Ur, denied her from Onan, she now has. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that she finally ended up marrying the son that she was being promised. But I think it is a foregone conclusion because Judah did not relate with her anymore. So, whatever was denied her, the son that was denied her from Onan, the son that was denied her from Ur, she got it. Hallelujah. God was turning the wickedness around. May God turn the wickedness in our world around in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, it is a dark world, but in this darkness, the glory of God can shine brightly. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying fight on. Don't give up. When you know what the promise is, don't give up. You give up, you don't see the manifestation of it. That's the point, child of God. You don't see the manifestation of the promise if you give up. I hate to stand before the Lord and find out that there were many things that He had promised me that were already finished, completed, deliverable, and I didn't get it because I quit. through the years, I've seen situations that have come to an end in terms of it's impossible for this to even happen anymore. Flip. Because I refuse to give up on what it is that I know God said. God said this. I am not good. But everything is messed up. It's not possible anymore. But God said it. If God said it, He said it knowing that I was going to come to this place of impossibilities. Did He say, this sickness is not unto death? He said that. And the person He said this sickness was not unto death concerning died. Is that true? John 11. Then was Lazarus. Lazarus died. But He said, this sickness is not unto death. In any language, if you tell me this sickness is not unto death, I believe this sickness is not unto what? Death. Man is not going to die. And then for Jesus to come and tell His disciples, Lazarus is dead. What are you talking about? I was here when you said this sickness is not unto death. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes to the place where what He said was not manifested. He goes there to enforce what He said. Did you hear what I just said? He said, this sickness is not unto death. That should be sufficient to keep the man alive. But the man died. And it's a man that he loved. And he goes there to confront that demonic force that had the audacity to try to make His word not true. He went there and he said, roll away the stone. Just take me to John 11, 35, John 11, 35, as I wrap up. Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verse 35. It says there what? Jesus what? Wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. 36. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved him. 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. It was a cave and the man is inside the cave and a stone laid upon the entrance of that cave. Next verse. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. It's too late. For he'd been dead how many days? 4 days. You know, the Jews believe that the third day, the spirit of the person hangs around for about 3 days and then takes off. And that's it. 4 days. Next verse. Watch this. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? If you just keep on believing, you will see the glory of God. That God does not operate based on what you think is the end. He is the beginning and He is the end. So if He has not said this is the end, it's not the end. Let's go on. Then they took away this stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. If you read through the passage, you will find out that there's not one place in there where Jesus was praying anything. So when is this that he's talking about? When he said, this sickness is not unto what? Death. You heard me. I said, this sickness is not unto death. But nature, sickness, disease is trying to prove that what I said shall not be, but I said it. So I'm thanking you that you've heard me. Next verse. And I knew that thou hearest me, how? Always. This verse is helping me more than it's helping you. But because of the people we stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Next verse. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. This is the first time we hear the Lord Jesus Christ enforcing anything with a loud voice. When things challenge you, challenge what you say, that's when you double down and said, that's what I said, and what I said is what's going to be. Said, Lazarus, come forth. Next verse. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Something is happening right now, because I'm focusing my attention on something. And that which is God's will be made manifest. It may be hidden in secret, counted as dead, but the stone must be rolled away because God speaks again. Hallelujah. 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 What God said is final. As God's people, we must not back down in retreat because of circumstances, but must boldly declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 3. This is it. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. This is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only passage where both names are brought together. It could have just said, and Judas begat Phares, and Phares begat Esrom. But it says, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Because those two are part of the same one unit. But the part called Phares is the one that he chose. And some other day, I will spend time revisiting, because the Lord told me that I have to do the teaching again on iniquities. I'll revisit it again so that you understand why it was Phares that God had to use. I will go on and I will show you again why it was that Jacob had to cross his hand to bless the younger with a greater blessing than the elder. Because God is still in the same business. God does not operate in pride. He's self-sufficient in himself. That he knows if he gives anything away, he's giving it out of the fullness of who he is. That when he blesses you, he doesn't become less. And that's the same mindset that you and I must have. That when we give unto the Lord, we don't become less. We become greater. Praise the Lord. Tamar shows up in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because she was not a quitter. Gave me a promise, I'm going to get what you said. You're going to do what you said. You're not going to lie to me about this. Amen? And God is saying, come to me, tell me, God, your God, you can't lie to me. I know what you said. It was at such and such a place, at such and such a time, on such and such a day. Do what you said. It's too late. No. Time doesn't have anything to do with you. Do what you said. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you blessed and highly favored of the Lord? Then shout glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for the opportunity once again to share the word of God with you. I pray that every time that you are here, that you're hearing something that feeds your spirit and propels you to accomplish everything you know God has for your life, for my life, for this our church in him. Amen? So I say, greater works, Lord. Do greater works with my life this day. In Jesus' mighty name, I ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to share in communion together. If you're here and you don't have your element, please raise your hand and you'll be saved. Does anyone not have the elements for communion? Everybody has one? Awesome. Praise God. Now, right after we share communion, I want you to honor God with your giving today. And I'd like you to give me a few more minutes after that. When you finish giving, I want you to just sit down back. I need another 3 or so minutes of your time before we are dismissed this morning and we'll congregate ourselves again tonight. This is the body of the Lord. Body that's broken for us, so that we can become everything that He says we can be. He took on our sickness, our diseases. He took on our sin, and in fact, the Bible says He became sin. He became sin, so that we can experience the righteousness of God, the gift of God's righteousness. As we take off this body today, let everything God determined, even before the foundations of the earth, to accomplish, be accomplished in us, with us, through us, and by us. In Jesus' mighty name, take and eat. This is a cup of His blood. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. As we take of this cup and we drink, the Lord will be glorified. All our needs will be met. His grace sufficient will empower us to accomplish everything according to His will. The decisions we make in our lives must not be based on natural decisions born out of our mindset, but decisions born out of the Spirit of God. Decisions based on the love of God. Take of this cup and drink, and as you drink, let love fill you through and through so that your faith works perfectly. Take and drink. You'll not be man, no. You'll not be man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You'll not be man, no. You'll not be man, no. You're under everything, no one like you. You'll not be man, no. You'll not be man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You'll not be man, no. You'll not be man, no. You're the God of everything, no one. Come and give your offering. No one like you, Jesus. No one like you. No one like you, Eze. No one like you. No one like you, Father. No one like you, Master. The God of everything. While they continue to play, just come, honor God with your giving, your tithes and your offerings, your vows and commitments. May the God of heaven open the heavens and pour out His blessings immeasurably upon every life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're the God of everything, no one like you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I bless everyone that's been with us today. May the hand of God rest upon you. May the peace of God, which garrisons our heart, effectively put to naught every spirit that is contrary to our well-being. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. I look forward to seeing you tonight. Bye for now. Love you.